Get your hands dirty with the Gardening Gang. Saturday mornings at 8 on Coast FM 963.
FM, the home of the classic hits here on the Central Coast. That's a beauty by our good friend Phil Collins. We play a lot of Phil, and that's Two Hearts Beating in Time. And we're beating with those bulbs today. Sheldon worked out that today's a good time to talk about bulbs. Why is that, mate?
Because this is the time that we put in all of our spring flowering bulbs so we get those beautiful displays. If you think Floriade, remember, Pete, we got that bus and took it down to
that's
Floriade.
They're probably working on the bulbs at Floriade for this season,
Pete,
aren't they?
They're doing it right now, probably maybe a little bit earlier than us. But right here on the Central Coast, we can definitely put those bulbs in. And so I found a bulb king, and that's Matthew from King Cumber Mitre 10, and he's got a whole lot of plants. Sorry, was that a bad pun?
Someone told me that King Cumber's an ideal spot for bulbs. You know that? It's very close to Saratoga, not far from Avoca. It's in a pick spot.
You know, there's everywhere is a great spot for bulbs. We've just got to know how to do it, and Matthew's got all the tips, so he's coming up in our first hour. We'll also be talking about bulb history because we know there's a lot of botanical history buffs out there that want to know a little bit more and a little bit deeper about these plants. And you and I, Pete, we went somewhere very special for the first time. We took the roving Coast FM mic. We went to Susan's Succulents, didn't we?
There's no bulbs there. Lots of succulents. So we'll talk to Susan briefly today because she's fed us beautifully. We had a lovely meal there at Susan Succulents, Empire Bay, if you're going out there today. And good morning to all the gang at Susan's because they're such wonderful creatures. They really are.
They are. That's our first hour. Lots of fun. Second hour, of
course.
And
the people are good too.
Oh, they are. Second hour, we've got our chef, our pet vet and our property reporter as well. Stay tuned.
Okay, it's the Gardening Gang once again being sponsored by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs, open all this weekend at Wyoming, and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows at Berkeley. Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy here at the radio station with all the bulbs on a Saturday morning. Sherilyn?
Yes?
We've got Matthew on the air, Matthew McClure, who's the boss of the retail section, Mitre 10 at Kincumber. Lovely big store there with a beautiful garden centre.
That is a beautiful place there. I love it. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Now, well, Matthew, I want you to stand near your bulbs at the shop there this morning and count everyone in the next hour. Would you have 3 million?
not quite, but you never know.
Well, I've been talking to Pete this morning about bulb growing, something I love doing. This is the time of the year that we can buy all of our spring flowering bulbs and stick them in. And I thought, let's find an expert. Matthew, can you give us some very simple, quick tips on how to plant bulbs, especially on the Central Coast, for Pete and anyone else?
People around Kincumber, Saratoga. That's where I live, man.
Oh, you know, Lake Haven, all those places.
Lake Haven's very close to Kincumber.
With bulbs, my rule has always been make sure you've got a very friable, well-draining either soil or potting medium. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want is your bulb to be wet for too long because they won't like that. So prepare your soil and prepare your pots and your potting medium to be very well-draining, friable soil.
There you go. Tip one, Pete. You got that? Write it down,
okay,
Pete.
Okay, I've got tip two ready now.
Right. Ready?
Tip two, I like to make sure that you clump your bulbs.
Really?
So when they come up, you have a little section that will have all your daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
That means that if you ever need to lift your daffodils at any time, you know where they are and they're not spread throughout the whole garden.
Sensible. Very sensible
and
planning.
And you get a better impact. When you have all your daffodils together and they're popping up and all their flowers are together, it has a much bigger impact and it's more pleasing to the eye.
Remember when we went to Floriade last year, Pete, and it wasn't just daffodils, there were also, it wasn't just tulips, it was also daffodils.
I've got all those vivid memories there, Sherilyn. Matthew, can we grow tulips on the Central Coast or is it too hot?
With tulips, they need to achieve a particular temperature before they'll flower. So we tend to be able to sell potted tulips because they've been put through that process.
Hmm.
And I remember when I was a kid, people would chill their tulips in the vegetable section of their fridge.
Hmm.
To help them kickstart with that low temperature in order to get them growing.
So you got to cheat the thing, eh? Okay.
So they think it's snow. They think it's been snowing and then they go, oh, now it's time to come up and pop out of the thing.
But you wouldn't put those bulbs in now, would you? Would you?
No, not
too early.
Not sure. So at this time of year, you're more looking at your, definitely your dump, your daffodils, Dutch iris. They're two very, very popular bulbs, and also ranunculus.
I love ranunculus. They're those really colourful
ones.
It's a
weird name, but it sounds like a very, very quality
they
product.
They kind of look like a frilly daisy peat. That's what they look like. Okay, I'll find you a photograph of those. And then what about jonquils, though? Is it too early yet to put our jonquils in, Matthew?
Normally, I associate jonquils with daffodils. But just having a look at our range at the moment, we don't have any in stock. So either they're late or, I tell a lie, they are here. The jonquils.
As we've spoken, you've found the stock. I'm excited, Matthew.
Jonquils and daffodils go hand in hand. Obviously, the jonquils have the much stronger scent. Mm-hmm. They're much more highly scented, much smaller flower. But I do like, and I have seen daffodils in the background and your jonquils closer in the front, closer to the path. So when you walk past, you get the visual impact of all the colour, but then you pick up the fragrance as well.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, these are so fresh at the nursery at Kincumber, Mitre 10.
Yeah.
Matthew didn't even know they were there.
No, they just popped
in. They popped in today. Delivery truck just arrived.
Hey, yeah, I love it.
Well done, Matthew. You've given us a bit of inspiration there, let me tell you.
That's it. This is the time.
Yes.
Sorry, Matthew.
Now, to make life easier, also I'd recommend that you look at, we do have bulb planting devices, which you can use to make sure you get the bulbs at the right depth. So we have those. Some of them come on a little hand trowel, which will show you 3-inch, 2-inch, 4-inch, or 5 centimeters, or 10 centimeters, depending on the bulb. Depends on the depth that you plant them. And when we're planting like that, I've always made sure that I've got a nice bit of padding. So we sell these garden kneeling pads.
Oh, I
that
see.
You can use.
Yes, of course.
Because putting in
save the knees.
20-odd daffodil bulbs and you want to do it properly and get them at the right depth means you might be there for a little while. So a little kneeling pad always comes in handy. They're my top tips for bulb planting.
I love it.
Well, there you go. I don't think that Matthew does it every week, but he certainly knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff.
And next week he'll be doing apple trees or something, I suppose.
And I'll tell you what, we know that if you get into Kincumber at Mitre 10, you're going to get jonquils as well. I'm going to run down there, Pete, because I
wouldn't mind a kneeling pad. I pray a lot. That would be very handy for that purpose too.
Pray for the garden at Kincumber, I think.
That's it.
Thank you, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew, nice talking to you this morning. Have a great great weekend, and all the gang at Mitre 10 Kincumber. Thanks for your help.
Wonderful. Not a problem. Thank you.
Coast FM with Pete and Cheryl on here, sharing the love
and
with
the
gardening gang and the bulbs as well. Classic hits at Coast FM, that time with Cat Stevens, also by the name of Yusuf Islam. That's his new name. And Cat with the Peace Train right here at Coast FM. Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy here on the Flower Trail today. It's gardening time. Thanks for joining us today. And Sherilyn chose the topic today of bulbs. We don't at our place at beautiful downtown Saratoga have any connection with bulbs.
None.
Yes, we're into things like flowers.
Mm-hmm.
We're into things like those ones that succulent. Succulents that don't suck.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. But bulbs are a new thing in my lexicon. I have a question for you.
All right, go
ahead. Here it is. Were bulbs here in the continent of Australia before the invasion?
Oh, gosh, we're getting political, are we?
Before the cook man came?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Are they native?
Well, the bulbs that you're seeing that are hitting the stores at the moment, and year-round, because there are autumn flowering bulbs and winter and summer flowering bulbs as well. It's just that they're more spring flowering bulbs, and it's what we're connected with. Well, they're mostly from the northern hemisphere, so your daffodils, your jonquils, your ranunculus, all those. So, yeah, they're not native to Australia. However, there are Australian native bulbs, and most people aren't aware of this, but you don't plant them right now to have a spring display. They're sort of, most of them are actually perennial flowers as well. There's not many, and like so many things in the world of botany, all these scientists argue about it. Some say there's only two true bulbs, some say there's eight. So there's a lot of argument out there of what is a bulb. And the reason this is because the term bulb, the common term bulb, is used very loosely in gardening worlds, because not all of those things that you're buying called bulbs are even bulbs. Some of them are corms and tubers. But for the argument's sake, anything that has a storage system that looks bulbous, that you stick under the ground and then a plant grows out of it, is pretty much in common garden sort of language known as a bulb, and that's why. Now, in Australia, there are two that you mightn't be familiar with, but you can get from some of our native nurseries. And one is actually called the native daffodil, and it's a very pretty yellow flower. I think it hails from South Australia from memory. Very, very pretty. It doesn't have a smell. It looks a lot like a jonquil. Very lovely. All the native bees absolutely adore it. They really do. So that's a really good one. The other one's the bulbine lily. Now, it is from the lily family, or part of the lily family, and it looks a bit more like a buttercup. That's it. So that's another bulb. But the one that I think a lot of people are familiar with, and we saw them the other day, and they're in flower now, actually, are what's known as swamp lily, or its cousin, the Brisbane River lily. Now, to describe this, they're probably the size of a bread and butter plate. They're white, and the flowers look like they're sort of drooping down. And if you go to Mingara, that's where we were the other day for an OB, outside broadcast, there was a whole lot of them out the front. They often plant them in these sort of parklands and that as borders. They probably grow about 4 feet high, the plant. They're evergreen, strappy leaves with these beautiful white flowers and a little bit of a scent as well. So that's another one. Now,
and they're called a?
Brisbane lily or swamp lily.
Brisbane lily or a swamp lily.
Or Brisbane river lily. There's two of them. They're cousins. So they're very, very pretty. So those ones are considered types of native bulbs. Now, there's quite a few others, but as I said, the verdict's out. You can go down to the Wildflower Nursery here in Erina Heights, that's where it is, and have a chat with them and don't have an argument. Just say you're looking for some Aussie native bulbs. The gang sent you down there. And I know they're very knowledgeable. They'll give you some points. But, yes, they were here before the invasion or Captain Cook.
They've been here for 40,000 years.
They're still here.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. Bill Linnett, along with the Thin Lizzy band, Irish band there, and the boys are back, and Pete and Sherilyn here back for a Saturday morning with the Gardening Gang, being sponsored by Alan Graham's Caravans and RVs, open all this weekend, and also Doormaster Security Doors and Windows.
Thanks, guys.
We travel this week. The Gardening Gang took our microphone set, our cameras and all that, out to do a little podcast at Susan's Succulents. Yes. Did Susan have succulents to sell?
She did.
She sold them well.
Yes, she did.
Very exciting to meet Susan. We hadn't spoken to Susan before, which we explained here. Mm-hmm. A little clip we recorded with Susan at Susan's Succulents at Empire Bay.
Hey, it's Home with the Gardening Gang, Coast FM, Pete and Sherilyn. Where are we, Pete?
We're at Susan's Succulents at Empire Bay, and this is Susan.
This is amazing. I love it.
It's such a pleasure to have you here, and this is it. We have the beautiful sunshine and lots of succulents and wonderful friends.
We hadn't met you until today personally. We talked to you over the phone.
Yep.
And I'm amazed at the size of this nursery. It's oh, my God, it's about five times bigger than I thought it was going to be.
How many succulents are here, Susan?
We have 1,000 square metres of growing space, but we can actually grow 150,000 succulents. And the whole reason is crazy. They don't need a lot of space. And in the natural habitat, they actually have to cuddle together, because in this way, they can be stronger.
And so that's why you've got them in trays. I see that here, that you have them in trays.
Yep.
Where a lot of them aren't in singular cells. They are actually all in full trays. I didn't think that that's how they would be growing.
For the big and mature plants, they're in the individual pots. Mm-hmm. But for the ones that is actually, this is actually the summer rescue the ones that is actually not doing okay. well in summer. Mm-hmm. So we actually mm-hmm. pack them in closer
this is
together.
The nursery of the nursery.
Yeah, I learned it from a documentary about succulents in South Africa.
Right.
Because they cuddle together, mm-hmm. they can actually take less heat from the sun. Like they can actually share the water. Mm-hmm. They can actually somehow support each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah,
very close personal friends, aren't they?
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. They support each other, you know, by mm-hmm. nestle. Hugging each other. This is how they grow in South Africa. If you're there,
right.
you can see succulent always grow in clumps.
Always together.
Yeah.
Right. And I've noticed a few of them are flowering. Do they flower different types? Flower at different times,
yep.
or is this the time they flower?
They flower in spring, and some of them can flower in autumn because spring and autumn is the growing season for succulents.
Uh-huh.
And I can see the flowers coming through now.
I did see the
yeah.
they look like little daisies.
Yeah, that's a conophytum. Yeah, the conophytums are translucent living stones, just got thicker skin. Yeah, and and then we can see some of the living stones actually got the flower stem coming through. If you look closely. Yeah, yesterday I saw a few, yeah. So they have come in different colours, bright red,
oh, I absolutely love
and
them.
Green, and that you have to wait for them to get actually quite wrinkly before you give it a drink. Look, you can see this one.
Oh, that is really wrinkly. So you wouldn't water that yet? You'd wait still?
Usually, they prefer to be wrinkled and then you give it a good soak.
Oh, look at the patterns on this one.
Yeah.
And so can I grow these inside or should they be outside? How do I grow those?
You can grow them inside, actually. You can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just winter, they need more sunshine.
Okay.
So if you can give it to a very sunlit kind of windowsill in
mm-hmm.
winter, and that will be happy. If they are not happy, you can see them getting taller, and that means that they don't have enough sunlight.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
And that's all you have to give them. They don't ask much.
Sherilyn, you can almost see the pictures when the descriptions were being made there. That's part of a clip that we're doing for the Gardening Gang. But anyway, nice to talk to Susan. She was such a wonderful host as well at Empire Bay. If you want to go down and see the fabulous range of succulents,
mm-hmm.
she's on that intersection there where the main road there, Empire Bay Drive, turns into... what do they call that place there?
I don't know, it's
Kilcare, up towards Kilcare.
Oh, okay, it's Kilcare.
That's the intersection there.
Yeah, we did a lot. We did a lot of filming there as well. So we'll be putting that on the Coast FM Facebook page very shortly this week as well.
What an enthusiastic lady. My God. Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy here this morning with the Gardening Gang.
Yes.
It is the second weekend of that beautiful month of autumn.
Mm.
And who's on the line to tell us all about what's happening in the nursery world?
You think, but what's hot, Vicky? Hello.
She is as hot as they come. Good morning, dear Vic.
Good morning.
Now, you've been researching what's, attractive about our local independent nurseries, and we should give them a bit of airtime. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, if you missed out on the garden trivia at Burbank at Erina, they're holding another one. So, it must have been a great success for them. And that will be on the 3rd of April.
Mm-hmm.
Foresters Beach Garden Centre, they've got beautiful canna lilies in amazing colours. And they would be great for a wet and shady spot, one of those tricky spots in the garden that you're having trouble filling with colour.
Yep.
30th of March at the Wildflower Meadow, you can attend a garden maintenance workshop. Contact the nursery for further details, and they've also said that they are having workshops once a month, every month for the entirety of this year, so it'll keep people busy.
What? You're talking about spring, summer, autumn, winter?
All the time. They're doing it.
Every month. So
every month?
Yep.
Amazing.
That's right. So workshops to everybody, and YE Nursery have got their grapevines in, and I love grapevines because... I love wine.
Oh.
And I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, gosh. Can we just snip that off now?
Okay, we'll move forward.
Right, thank you.
Now moving on to what's happening around the Narara Valley Nursery today.
Really, really fun and really, really exciting. And we started this last Friday and it was a success. So we're going to continue this every single Friday, Band Shirt Friday. Here at Narara Valley Nursery, if you wear your band shirt in store, you will save 20% off everything. And that includes everything.
Garden gnomes.
Everything. Hardware, pots, fertilizers, pesticides. And So you have to wear your band shirt and you actually get an extra 20% if it's a Taylor Swift shirt. So no Taylor Swift.
I would say you'll get a lot of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You might get Beach Boys. I don't know about Taylor Swift. I think
Pink Floyd, maybe.
More of those classic hits. Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd,
I've got a Pink Floyd hat. Would that,
would that get me through?
No,
you've
got to
have a shirt. Okay, right. We so far had a customer come in with a Guns N' Roses. We've had an Aerosmith. We've had a Metallica.
Ooh.
And we also did have two Led Zeppelins.
You were right, Pete. Led Zeppelin. Well, there you go. You win. Yes.
Was that one on each side? Was it?
But how fun is that? So wear your band shirt in for 20% off. Let's do it. It'll be so much fun.
Oh, very good.
Do you think many gals would have band shirts? I think I'd be more inclined to be a male thing.
Oh, I've got a few band shirts,
Pete. Really?
Oh my gosh, I have so many band shirts, Pete. It's not funny.
So that's a good attraction to be at Narara Valley in your favourite band, as in band. Not as in band, band shirt. Nice idea. Now let's move forward now on the radio this morning, every Saturday morning, because Sherilyn Darcy is the queen of the quiz. Is it a fact or a fiction?
Fib or fiction. Here we go. All right, we're talking bulbs today, and everybody knows these bulbs. Tulips. Let's go tulips. Have you ever seen a parrot tulip? There is such a thing. This is true. This is true. So a parrot tulip, the edges of the petals are all feathery. So if you've ever seen one of those, they look very feathery around the edges. And I know Vicky would be very familiar with these. Maybe not you, Pete, so much. And they're called a parrot tulip because they look feathery. That's what they look like. Now, colours in tulips, they've made all those sort of stripes and funny colours and things. They've all happened because of a genetic mutation. That's what's caused all of the colours to change. Stop doing that. They can be rushed. Stop it. Okay, the colours in tulips have changed from the original solid colours to stripes and really beautiful little patterns because of a genetic mutation. All true. That is all true.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. That's what's happened. Now, the parrot tulip is a little bit different. It has also suffered from a genetic mutation, but they came about during the 1970s in the Ukraine area because of radiation in the ground. That's what happened. And it mutated some of them and changed their shape, their actual shape, to this sort of twisted, feathery look. And they've been able to breed these parrot tulips ever since. Is that a fact or a fib?
Well, Chernobyl in Ukraine was subject to a big leakage there, 70s, I think, maybe 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a half historical, you know, accuracy there. But I seem to be of the opinion, and I think I might be leading the pack at the moment, am I not? This is a fib.
Oh. Vicky?
Oh, I'm feeling outrageous. I'm feeling absolutely outrageous and excited for Band Shirt Friday, and I feel like it could be true.
Oh.
Okay, Miss Darcy.
It's a common wives' tale. A lot of people do believe it is true, Vicky, so you've fallen for it, but it is a complete fib. Just like the other tulips that have suffered a genetic mutation that scientists cannot work out, then they've also been around since the 17th century.
You were very clever trying to hide that with a historical fact of Chernobyl, of course.
Excuse me, guys, but I already knew the answer. I just wanted to give Pete an ego trip today.
Thank you so much. At the moment.
Very good.
Okay. It's a fact or a fib. We love to talk to Vicky every week.
We do. Thanks.
I think it's a fact.
That's it.
We'll catch you next week.
I love talking to you guys too. Have a lovely day.
And have a good band day.
That's What's Hot Vicky. She joins us every Saturday at home with the Gardening Gang. Coast FM 963.
Feel right at home with the Gardening Gang. Coast FM 963.
Dad. 963.
Coast FM. Get your hands dirty with the Gardening Gang. Saturday mornings at 8 on Coast FM 963.
Shake it up, baby. Milkshake time. And that is the Cars at Coast FM, all part of our Gardening Gang this morning. And those classic hits at 12 minutes after 9. I'll correct that, actually, Sharon. It's only 10 past 9. We've got two more minutes than I expected. I'm going to play a little theme here for you because I think this is deserved. This segment's deserved of its own little tune. Yes? Now, let me see if I can just find this one. Yes, here it is. Okay, there we are, Stevie. We've got a little theme here for our segment on
Gardening Gang, Saturday morning. It's time to get your hands dirty. Okay. Stevie's in the corner here with the bell.
Goodness,
bring it along. It's a very important segment for gardeners. It's time to check out what to grow.
It is. It's time to get your hands dirty. Coasties, here we go. And people further afield as well. They all like listening to this part. Right. First of all, what's on for plant lovers around the Central Coast coming up? I can't say this week because nobody's told me. So I'm going to actually preface this with, if you have an event or a workshop, this is a free opportunity to get that event or workshop with a QR code. We'll make it, do the whole lot, into the local newspaper and mentioned on our show. gardeningcentralcoast@gmail.com is all you have to do. Drop me a line and I'll get it on. Like our good friends at East Gosford Community Garden have done. They have a free native bee talk and it's on Saturday the 16th of March, 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Just a half an hour one. And it's been put on by Rumbalara Bees. They're our good friends up the coast. Oh, I think they're up in the mountains there somewhere. They'll be talking about the most common native bees you are likely to see on the Central Coast, the importance of our bees and how to help them with a habitat and food source. Oh, that growing stuff. The talk is suitable for kids and adults with an interest in gardening and our environment. You do, I think you need tickets or you need some more information. Anyway, jump on to Rumbalara Bees, that's rumbalarabees.com.au and get along and learn about the bees and have a look at their community garden, East Gosford Community Garden. What's happening in your garden, you might ask? Well, getting a little cooler. Get out, get those bulbs, get them ready. Maybe wait a couple of weeks before you put them in. I'm going to put my daffs in probably next week. But you could also plant culinary herbs, beetroot, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbages, carrots, cauliflowers, chicory, if you must, and cress, endive, kohlrabi, leeks, all the lettuces can go in, mustard, onions, parsnip, and peas can go in too. I put my own sweet peas in the other day. And talking of peas, it's almost time to plant your beautiful sweet peas. They're so pretty. They're the flowers, not the veggies. Let's get back to veggies. Radishes, shallots, silver beets, spinach, spring onions, swedes, turnips as well. Anyway, if you might like them. And in the flowers, as well as grabbing those spring flowering bulbs, let's have a look at calendula, candy tuft, carnation, columbines, coneflowers, that's the old echinacea, delphiniums, dianthus, our everlasting daisies, that includes all the native ones, forget-me-nots, foxgloves, hollyhocks can go in at last, gypsophila, that's baby's breath, nigella, pansies, polyanthus, poppies, primulas, snapdragon status, stock, as I said, sweet peas, violas and Pete, wallflowers.
Okay, well, there you go. That's what you can plant in your garden this week, according to Ms. Darcy and her very, very well thought out and researched section of the newspaper plan every week.
Yeah, every single week. And this week we're talking about bulbs, so you can get all that information in print. The newspaper's out now across the coast, or you jump onto coastcommunitynews.com.au.
Coast FM, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy here. It's Saturday morning with the gang that gets together and talks about gardening and other things of fun. And today, Sherilyn,
yes,
we're going funstering at the markets around
Yay,
the coast.
I love
Doreen's
the markets.
Joining us here.
Yep.
In her red frock today. Hmm. Normally it's blue, but today it's a red.
Any
reason
right,
it's
yes.
a red frock today?
Oh, gee, I hadn't thought about that.
And those
really?
Lips are very red too.
That's it. Okay. I think she's
You're
already
on fire,
dressing
Betty.
Up. Little dressing up.
Standing out of the markets. That's what she is. There
okay.
we go.
The
little...
markets, the market people love you, Doreen.
Yep. I just want to stand out
them.
So they know I'm here.
Look for the lady in red.
Okay. So, do we want to find out where to do a little retail therapy today
yes,
and tomorrow?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, today, Edelong Fresh Food Markets are being held at the Broken Bay Scout Hall on Picnic Parade today and every Saturday between 7:30 and 1. You'll find fresh fruit and veggies, eggs and deli items on sale. And Mangrove Mountain Markets are being held today between 9 and 3 on the corner of George Downs Drive and Blood Tree Road. They specialise in homemade preserves, cakes, crafts and plants. And the YE Markets are on today between 8 and 1. It's being held in the Community Hall and grounds on YE Road. There's fashion, local produce, crafts, desserts, cakes and specialty coffee.
And that's today for you.
Not enough.
Oh, sorry.
There should be more.
I have a lot more tomorrow. So.
Okay, let's do tomorrow's markets.
Okay, now here's a new little thing. Edelong Fresh Food Markets now also have a small market every second Sunday at Pearl Beach Memorial Hall between 8 and 11. So if you can't make their Saturday market, you can go along to their mini version at Pearl Beach.
That's no bigger than 10 square metres. How will they get more than five people there?
Oh, they're lovely people. They've already organised, I was looking on Facebook, they've already organised to bring along mushrooms for a lady who requested mushrooms, so I'm thinking they'll have mushrooms.
It's very faxy, yes. Isn't it?
You know, all the way to Pearl Beach for a few mushrooms.
Yeah, for your mushrooms. Oh, that'd be good. Okay, Tookley Lions Club markets are on in the Coles car park, Tookley, between 8 and 1. Go along, browse through their stalls and find some bargains. And Woi Woi Waterfront markets are on tomorrow between 9 and 2. It's all things creative, so think of well-being, flowers and candles. They have food stalls too. It's at Brick Wharf Road, Woi Woi. And Gosford City Farmers Market is on tomorrow at the Gosford Showground between 7 and 12. The stalls include local fruit and veggies, free-range eggs, grass-fed meat. And there's also rustic breads and deli items, international foods and coffee. And then to wrap it all up, the Entrance Lions Club Charity Market is being held again tomorrow between 8.30 and 12.30. It's on in the Denning Street car park opposite Coles. Browse through their second-hand goods and specialty items.
Thank you, Doreen. You'll be out today in your red frock, I'm sure.
Know. They'll know
so
it's
if you
me.
See somebody with that. And pearls today, too.
Oh, yes.
No,
oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Bit of glitz.
Oh, no. I've just got my
glamour. Yeah.
Bit of glam on there.
Mm.
Red frock, a bit of glam, and a big smile.
There you go. That's our Doreen.
That's me.
There she is. Coast FM getting around to the gardening gang today.
And every Saturday right here at Coast FM 963.
963, Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy on this Saturday morning. We're catching up with the chef, our chef Daniel, while he's driving this morning.
Is
he's been hunted out of town.
Oh, hunted to do some
no,
good
I
cooking.
Think actually,
and you got me.
We've tracked him down well and truly here. Now, chef, just something very basic I thought today we'd talk about. So that you can keep your mind on the road and we can enjoy your comments about the kitchen and whatnot. I recently had at a restaurant, it wasn't a Domino's or any of those takeaways, a very enjoyable pizza experience. And I thought to myself and said to the bride, wouldn't this be nice to make something as fabulous as this at home?
Ooh.
Now, chef, give me some guidance. What would be the likelihood of me, a basic cook, to make the best pizza at home? What ingredients, what techniques can you share with us today?
Chef's tips.
Well, the first secret and the absolute first thing you need to know is we have to get the dough right. Now, the dough is a little bit of a secret. A couple of things that you need to know. First of all, get really good flour. Don't buy the cheap Coles or Woolies flour that's $1 a kilo kind of thing. No, buy the proper Italian Dallo flour, it's got more stability in it, it's going to actually be able to be a lot nicer on the belly.
Uh-huh.
Second thing, never use hot water. You actually want to use cold water.
To make the dough?
To make the dough. A lot of people get confused, go, I'm going to use warm water because I need the yeast to proof. No, you don't. Not when it comes to pizza dough. Pizza dough is completely different.
Uh-huh.
So when we're doing pizza dough, we want to use cold, filtered water.
Cold, filtered
make
water.
Make sure it's
okay.
filtered.
Okay,
yes,
right.
It has to be filtered. And a good olive oil, of course. Mm. And then what you're going to do is you're going to actually put a lot less yeast in it than what you're expecting. So if you go and actually look, like, go up and look a standard recipe for a good pizza dough. You know what? I'll post it into Chef Daniel on Facebook and Instagram later on today. But it's pretty simple. Cold water, good flour, good olive oil, and then the most important thing is leave it in the fridge after you've mixed it, balled it, in the fridge with a wet cloth over the top for 48 hours
oh
before you use it.
But I want to make my
Let
pizza tonight, mate. I can't, can I?
No.
Planning.
You got to plan your pizza. Oh.
You got to plan your pizza, right?
I've got to plan for Monday night.
So basically, like, you know how you're saying, I really want to have a nice pizza, like I have a great experience at a beautiful pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
The secret is making sure you rest your dough. By resting your dough, pulling it out about an hour before you're about to use it, getting it to room temperature, you're going to have this wonderful stretch. You're going to have this beautiful puffiness. And when you put it in the oven, you want to make sure you go up to the highest temperature of your oven and get a nice little pizza stone. Get it really, really nice and hot, and then place your pizza onto that pizza stone. The heat will react with the dough and giving you this beautiful puffiness on the edges, making it nice and crispy, crunchy, and really gorgeous in the middle with a nice cooked base.
Oh, that's, can you hear my belly? You can hear my belly growling.
Hearing, what I'm hearing, Sherilyn, is that the dough is like 80% of the effort for the pizza.
It does.
Is that right?
Mm.
It is. It is. It's all about the dough. You know, it's really, really important that we get that right. And the second and the third thing is it's all about a really good mozzarella. You've got to make sure you've got a really good mozzarella. You can't go and get yellow mozzarella. That's not mozzarella, right? A good, beautiful white mozzarella is always gorgeous. Mm. And then, of course, you've got to make a nice pizza sauce. And all I do is just get a really nice kind of I use the Mutti brand, the whole peeled tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I blend it up. A little bit of salt and pepper and some fresh basil through it, and then use that on the base of my pizza.
Mm-hmm.
The mozzarella, pull it out, put a little bit of fresh basil leaves and a sprinkle of olive oil. If you ever want to understand a good pizza, always think of the Italian flag. It has to have something white, it has to have something green, and it has to have something red.
Oh, yes.
Well, you've got me very excited, mate.
The cheese.
Yeah.
And the basil, really important.
And cooked for the high. So you said the highest temperature for what, 15 minutes or so, is it?
No, it should take only like 3 minutes.
Oh,
3 minutes.
If I'm using my pizza oven, it's anywhere between a minute and a half to 2 minutes, and it's done. It's 300 degrees. You know, that's the temperature that you want to have your wood fire oven. Get it nice and hot. You just basically want to flash it and get it nicely cooked really, really quickly. And let the heat kind of have a chemical reaction with the yeast and the softness inside the dough, and it's just going to puff up and crust up nicely.
I think his Italian grandfather, which he never knew, has passed this down in a spiritual way.
Well, I'm really scared because all I could see was dollar signs in Mr. Little's eyes, because I think there's going to be a new pizza parlor popping up at Saratoga. Now you've given him these secrets.
Yeah, I'll give it a call, the Chef Daniel Pizza Parlor.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, that's good news, mate. You've given me a great bit of insight there. Mm. I've obviously been too
I could already see it.
Can you see it?
Pepperoni Pete.
Pepperoni
Pete. Home delivered 24 hours a day.
I love it.
Okay, thanks, Chef Daniel. It's very helpful, and all in the space for a little car journey.
Love it.
Well achieved.
He's so good.
Hopefully we'll catch you back in the studio next week.
I can't wait.
That's Chef Daniel, and he's from Baker Street Restaurant here in Gosford. Joins us every single week at Home with the Gardening Gang with Pete and Sherilyn on Coast FM 963.
Check him out tonight. Pete Little and Sherilyn Darcy on the Saturday morning, now joined by the beautiful Tanya Middleton, who's our pet vet nurse.
Yeah.
Always got a surprise story for us. And Sherilyn, you've got a particular interest in goldfish, they tell me.
I do. Hello, Tanya. How are you going?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm excited, Tanya, because we've got some pet vet nurse mail that's come into the gardening gang. I'm very excited about this. So Kelly from YE has written to us on the good old Facebook, and she has a question, and here we go. She says, mm-hmm. When she was young, she remembers having goldfish in just bowls, you know, like just a bowl on the bench and you just have water in it. And she said all we had in it was just pebbles and the fish. That's it. She said, however, she recently went to a local pet shop. She does mention it. I'm not going to mention them. And she wanted to get some goldfish for her kids, basic sort of thing. And they said that she had to buy a filter and a heater for the goldfish. And she was like, what? I don't remember doing that. And so now she's concerned. She didn't buy the goldfish. She thought, I'm going to ask Tanya first. So she wants to know, Tanya, does she need to have a filter and all this extra stuff just for, you know, bog standard goldfish? Are they just trying to, you know, value add to her?
You've got to remember though, Sherilyn, that YE gets very cold there.
you're going to heat the water.
It does not. It does not, Pete.
Very
I
cold.
Live there.
It's our frosty part of the central coast.
No.
Seriously.
So in all seriousness, can she just throw a couple of goldfish in a bowl with some pebbles and water and feed them every now and then
see
and
you
stick
back
it there?
Week.
See you later. Or does she need to have a filter, etc.? What do you reckon, Tanya?
Wow. Well, first of all, I am very, very honoured that she chose to ask me, of all people, about her wanting a goldfish and goldfish husbandry. Me, who has only ever had a molly fish who died, as I've told you guys before.
Oh, yes, you have.
look, I think here's the thing, okay, and it's kind of like, you know, the old stories of I used to have a dog and, you know, he used to do this and that and he was fine and it was never vaccinated. Look, I think that with goldfish or with any animal, if it's just in its area and its area is not being cleaned, i.e. in this case it's water, it's going to, you know, there's going to be, you know, feces and things like that.
Goodness.
And, you know, it's water is going to get very, very dirty very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they're trying to say at the pet store is that they're sort of saying, look, you can get this filter that will keep the area cleaner for longer.
Ah.
Okay. Back when she had her goldfish, she probably cleaned the bowl out regularly. And see, this is the thing. As time progresses, you know, science tells us better ways to do things, right? And in 10, 20 years, there's probably going to be better things than filters. You know, like on Finding Nemo, how they have that laser.
Oh,
that
yes.
Cleans the and there might be. there might be lasers out there. Look, fish living until they're, I don't know how old these days, whereas, you know, years ago, they probably only lived a couple of years. But
are you suggesting, Tanya, the fish would live for a couple of years in that environment?
No, I tell you what, our fish used to last for a couple of years. We used to have
really?
Goldfish when the kids
couple
were little.
Of years.
Yeah, yeah. Or even it might about a year,
lucky
couple
to make
of years.
A month.
But we did
well,
have
we
in one house, I don't know what it was, but the fish kept dying, right? This was quite funny. And I just kept replacing the fish with the same looking fish. And I used to go down and my kids were none the wiser. And they were like, remember those goldfish we had that lasted 10 years? I'm like, beauties. Absolute beauties. Because I go down and I go, no, it's got to have like a little stripe on the side there. That's what I used to do at the aquarium. No, that's no good. Match them up.
My friend. Had a goldfish that lived for 8 years.
There you
but
go.
She was meticulous with this fish. It had the best everything.
So this is a lesson in longevity for the fish.
Yes.
How to make a goldfish last longer.
That's right.
And be stronger.
And be happy.
And be happy as well.
Happy
all
fish.
Three. I'm amazed.
Happy fish, happy life. There you go. Well, Kelly from YE, I think we've answered the question in depth.
Yes, thank you, Kelly.
And,
good question.
Yeah, it was a great question. That was a really good one.
Keep them coming.
And as usual, our pet vet nurse has a sensible answer.
She does. Thanks a lot, Tanya.
Good on you, Tan. Thanks for your time.
That was Tanya Middleton there, our pet vet nurse that joins us every Saturday right here at home with the Gardening Gang on Coast FM.
Coast FM, Pete Little and Cheryl and Darcy here Saturday morning with the Gardening Gang. And Lachlan McDonald joins us now from Ray White McDonald Partners. And he's sitting back in his armchair this morning. You got a busy day, mate, or you're just waiting for the phone calls to come in?
No, busy day, Pete. That's hey, that's not the way it is anymore, the way it used to be, maybe.
I still have this picture of a real estate guy sitting back with cigar in hand. Maybe that was the 70s, mate. Yeah.
I think it was.
Now, mate, an article I caught during the week in the Sydney Morning Herald explained that there are several parts of the greater Sydney area where growth in the value and the price of home units exceeds the average. And places on the Central Coast are in the top 10. Places like Terrigal, places like Point Frederick, places like The Entrance have over 5 years, in fact, Terrigal, 54% growth in the value of home units in the last 5 years. Now, that is well and truly ahead of anything, I think, in the Sydney area. Yes, it is, looking at the chart here.
Most definitely. I mean, there's, you know, certain areas and certain segments within markets that will have performed better, you know, certain luxury apartments, say, around some of the Sydney beaches, but not suburbs as a whole, no.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing that intrigues me is I'm about 4 or 5 years ago, on the Central Coast, we were touting probably the most expensive penthouse was about $1 million.
Mm.
And here we are now. The average in Terrigal, according to this report, now for a home unit is $1.25 million. That's just the average. Clearly, there are pieces of real estate there that are $3, $4 million or well and truly.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. And you know, obviously there's, you know, two-bedroom units now in that location that are sort of in the mid-ones. There's ones that are even more expensive than that, depending on the view. But certainly, units have grown in popularity on the coast. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that, is that we talk about this a lot, Pete. Obviously, you know, we've got a bit of an aging population in Australia in general, but obviously there's a lot of people on the Central Coast that are sort of reaching that retirement age and previously perhaps haven't been as interested in apartment living, but it is becoming more and more attractive because of the low maintenance, because of the lifestyle on offer, and there's more options available too. So people are looking to move into those. And as a result, we're seeing not just younger homeowners competing for apartments because that's how much money they have to spend, but also older homeowners that are downsizing and looking to go into apartments. That's happening more and more on the coast, where it always has, you know, been a thing in Sydney, but on the coast, we haven't really seen that cycle so much yet.
Well, here we are. You're spot on, mate, because places like Terrigal, Point Fred and the entrance are within easy walk to the beach. Well, not so much Point Fred, but they're near the water's edge there, and facilities like the railway and the town centre and things like that. So maybe home units for the older population are going to eclipse the interest in going into a retirement village, maybe.
Yes, that's it. See, it was not that long ago that most homeowners that we talked to on the coast that were looking at that down, thinking about downsizing, they wanted to go into a villa or something like that, a single level villa, almost like a miniature house. But now that there are more and more options available in terms of these home units and stylish ones, very nice builds, great views, closer to everything, they're becoming much more of an attractive option. And previously, a lot of the apartments that were on offer were too small for people to move from a large home into.
Precisely, but yes, you're right.
Some of these new ones, whilst there are smaller ones in the buildings, there's also big three-bedroom units available that appeal to downsizers. So they're driving the price growth. And if you look at certain developments in and around, say, the Gosford area, it's been incredible to see what some of the prices have been achieved. I mean, like if we look at Ravello down there, on the waterfront there, and look at, you know, apartments selling in there in the $3 million range, I mean, when would we have thought that was likely or on the cards for, you know, Gosford Waterfront in the past? And Pete, if we look at some of the new ones coming online, like say Rumbalara, they're even more expensive again. And they're getting attention from people not just downsizing from local areas, but coming from Sydney as well, and looking at it as an alternative to buying a downsizing apartment in Sydney.
And imagine living in that new one that's being built by Adland in the centre of Gosford. If you take a place in there, not even without leaving the building, there's a nice pub. So if you enjoy entertaining people, you don't have to leave the entire place at all. Ms. Darcy, are you happy to stay in
I'm a bit
away from the high rise.
I'm away from it all, but look, the way that it keeps developing, it's creeping up the coast, I think. I'm a bit scared, Lachlan.
Okay, thanks, Lachlan. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Lachlan McDonald from Ray White McDonald Partners joins us every week with the gang.
Right here on Coast FM 963.
Home with the Gardening Gang.
Coast FM 963.
Thanks for joining us today. Look forward to your company next week with the Gardening Gang with Pete and Sherilyn. Now, Sherilyn, you've worked out next week. We're going to talk about some sort of little buzzy thing.
We are. Australian native bees. That's what we'll be talking about. How they're important, what you can do in your garden to attract them, keep them in there, and why you should do that. It's very easy. We'll have some experts and we'll have some chats as well. All that and more next week.
And coming up next, we've got the What's On Show.
Do you have a vacant commercial space?